You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our lecture today, we're going to discuss the sending of the Son by the Father. So that the Father sends the Son, giving to us the Word, revealing to us the knowledge of salvation. And then we'll talk about how the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, which gives to us the Word, which reveals the knowledge of salvation. And then we'll talk also about how the Holy Trinity sends the apostles, giving to us the Word, which reveals the knowledge of salvation. And all that knowledge of salvation centers in the person and work of Christ. It's the message of the cross, that God and sinner are now reconciled. So today's lecture, we'll look particularly at John's Gospel. We'll start at chapter 3. We'll move to chapter 17, then 14, 15, and 16. Now, I know that's a little bit backwards, but we'll start with 17 first and move towards 16. And then we'll conclude by looking at John's first epistle, specifically chapter 4, when he talks about the Holy Spirit. So let's begin today's lecture. Now, as students of theology, we are disciples of Jesus. Again, a disciple is one who continues to hear, to learn, to believe the words of Jesus, in which there is eternal life. So now Jesus was sent by the Father in order to give life. He was given for the life of the world. So Jesus is given to us as a gift. In John's Gospel, the Apostle writes in chapter 3, starting at verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Now that's John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. You see, Jesus was sent in order to save the world. He was not sent to condemn the world. Jesus came for our benefit. He took upon flesh and blood for us in order to die for us, the death that we deserve because of our sin. He came that we might have life, and the one who believes in him has eternal life. The one who does not believe in him, though, remains in sin, and therefore remains in death. Now in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, he continues to conclude this truth by referring to Jesus at verse 31, saying this, that Jesus is he who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. That's John chapter 3, verses 31 through 33. Jesus came from heaven and thus bears witness of what he has seen and what he has heard as the second person of the Holy Trinity. And then he reveals to his disciples the knowledge of God and divine things, so that we cannot again obtain this from our natural knowledge, from observation of creation. And yet, it is given to us as a gift from God, in which he reveals these divine truths. so that his disciples hear these words, and they cannot understand heavenly things apart from these words. By earthly speaking, we can only have a natural knowledge, and in fact, it's far worse than just only having a natural knowledge. Earthly speaking, we are even unable to accept the heavenly things that Jesus bears witness to. It is only through the revealing of the word of Jesus that eyes are open to see what he has seen, and ears are open to hear what he has heard. So Jesus comes to reveal to us the Father, and faith comes by hearing the word of Jesus. So John the Apostle continues to teach us in chapter 3 at verse 34, saying this, "For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." That's John chapter 3, verses 34 through 36. You see, Jesus has been sent by God, and being sent by God, his words are God's words. He speaks what the Father has given him to speak. At this point, let us make a few remarks regarding the revealed knowledge of the Holy Trinity. You see, in this passage, we are taught about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here we learn to make a distinction in the plurality of persons of the Godhead, while yet at the same time maintaining the unity of the divine essence. For there is only one God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They're not three gods, there's one God. Yet they are three persons. The Father is not the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is neither the Father nor the Son. You see, the Holy Scripture uses specific language to teach us this unity of divine essence, but plurality of the three persons of the Holy Trinity. So, for instance, in our text here, Jesus is referred to as he who comes from above. Also, he is called he who comes from heaven, and he whom God has sent. You see, Jesus is the one who is sent, and thus Jesus is the one who comes. He is the long-awaited Messiah who was to come. He's the coming one, the one that the people of Israel were waiting for, hoping for, and anticipating that he would come to usher in the eternal kingdom. He is the promised Son of David, yet he is David's Lord. So he's the one who is sent. He is the one who comes. He is the coming one. He is from heaven above, thus he comes from God. Likewise, he is sent from God. This passage here emphasizes the holy incarnation in which the second person of the Holy Trinity became man and dwelt among us. It is in his humanity that this distinction between the person of the Father and that of the Son is made known to us, that we understand that the Son is the coming one, not the Father. The Son is sent from the Father. The Father is not the one who is sent. So the Son is the one who is sent from the Father. The Father is the one who sends. So in passages like this in Scripture about a person sending and a person being sent teaches us to make a distinction in two different persons. You have the sender, which would be the Father, and the one who is sent. So the Gospel according to St. John uses the language of sending in this passage to designate how the Father is the one who does the sending, and the Son is the one who is sent. It is the Father who gives all things into the hands of the Son. It is the Father who gives the Son to the world as a gift. It is the Son who has the Spirit without measure. So now here's this interesting particularity here that we have, this emphasis that the Son is the one who gives the Spirit without measure, so that he whom God has sent utters the words of God. It is the Son who speaks the words of God. He gives these words to the apostles. What the Father speaks, the Son speaks, and then he reveals this to the apostles. Therefore, the apostles will then be sent with these words from God to proclaim, so that when you hear the voice of the apostles, you hear the voice of Jesus, the Son. And when you hear the voice of the Son, you hear the Father who sent the Son. But when you reject the words of the apostles, you're not rejecting just man-made creative thinking and opinions. Instead, you are rejecting the Word of God. You're rejecting the voice of the Son, and if you reject the voice of the Son, you reject the voice of the Father. So the Son is the one who gives the words of God. He is, in fact, the Word incarnate, and he then gives the Spirit without measure. Now, if we look over at John's Gospel, chapter 17, and we look in this passage, here's these words that Jesus says in this high priestly prayer. So here the Son is speaking to the Father, and Jesus says, verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. So this is John chapter 17, verses 6 through 8. Here we learn about the Son. The Son speaking to the person of the Father. And to speaking in this petition as this mediator, as this high priest, the one who stands between us and God, who speaks in our behalf, an advocate. And he stands there and he declares that the words that he gave to the disciples are the words that the Father gave him to give. And so Jesus gives these words to these apostles and sends them out into the world. Now, again, at this time, it'd be important to note that the word apostolo is this Greek verb for sending, that I send. And so an apostolos is one who is sent. So the apostles are those humans, those men in particular, the 12 that Jesus has sent out into the world. The 12 that heard Jesus, the 12 that saw the resurrected Christ, and the 12 that received the gift of the Holy Spirit that came upon them to lead them in all truth, so that they were sent out into all nations making disciples, that is, again, students, learners, hearers of God's word. So that they were sent out into the world to give the words of Jesus to others. So through their words, which are the words of God, faith is created in the hearts of the hearers. So faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. The apostles have the word of Christ. And so they are sent out to proclaim Jesus, the message of the cross. And in this gospel message of the person and work of Jesus, faith is created, faith is bestowed, and the Holy Spirit is given, and the forgiveness of sins is obtained. So, for instance, John's Gospel in chapter 17, Jesus furthermore says at verse 14, to the Father the Son speaks, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that's John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. You see, as the apostles were given the words of Jesus, they were to keep these words and then give them to others. And those who hear these words become disciples, those who are taught to also keep the words of Jesus and to abide in them, to remain in them. It is through these words, the word of truth, the word of Jesus, that they are sanctified, that disciples are made, as Jesus sends them out saying, make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them everything that I have commanded. So Jesus, of course, in John's Gospel, back in chapter 14, now we're going to step it in reverse here, and Jesus says this. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. That's John chapter 14, verses 23 through 24. Now, to enable the apostles to keep the words of God, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, who will give them the words of God to speak and remind them of all that Jesus had said. You see, when Jesus sends out the apostles with his word, he also, with his word, gives the gift of the Spirit. For Jesus gives the Spirit without measure. The words of Jesus are spirit and life. They are spirit-filled words. And so he gives the Spirit who comes in and with the word. And the apostles then proclaim this word to the world. Now, we must bear in mind here that this is a spiritual reality. That, in fact, in this world, it's not just a handing down of information. So the message of the cross is not just data that we download to the next person. Rather, it is this means through which the Holy Spirit is given and the Holy Spirit works. That the Holy Spirit works faith and life in the individual who hears. The Holy Spirit opens eyes to see, because it's the devil who has blinded eyes of all unbelievers in the world. So this is why Jesus had prayed that the Father would keep those who hear this word, who have this word, from the evil one. The evil one, of course, is Satan. The one who blinds eyes and closes ears and hardens hearts. But it is Jesus who sends out his apostles, and he sends them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through the words of Jesus that they proclaim, the Holy Spirit is given to us in our day. Now, Jesus, of course, before his crucifixion and resurrection in chapter 15 of John's Gospel, he begins to unpack all these truths to his apostles as he is about to send them out. So back in John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting at verse 26, Jesus says this, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So that's John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. You see, the Holy Spirit is the helper. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to the apostles, and in turn, they are to bear witness to others. The Holy Spirit is to inspire and instruct and enlighten the apostles, bringing to mind all that Jesus had said, so that through the words of the apostles, others would be enlightened by the same Spirit. And so, for instance, in John chapter 16, in the next chapter, Jesus continues to unpack what's going to take place after the resurrection and at the ascension when he sends out the apostles. So Jesus says in chapter 16, starting at verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So that's John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. As the Holy Spirit is sent, he will speak the words of God to the apostles. His words will glorify the Son. And in bringing glory to the Son, the Father is glorified. Thus, the Father sends the Son who speaks the words of God. To the apostles, the Son sends the Holy Spirit, who speaks the words of God. Likewise, the Son sends the apostles, who speak the words of God to us. And as we have it in the written scriptures, that same Holy Spirit who spoke by the mouth of the prophets of old and the apostles in their days speaks to us in the written scriptures of the Old and the New Testament in our day, so that we can be certain and sure we have what the Son reveals to us as he speaks the words from the Father. The Spirit speaks the words of the Father and the Son. And then the apostles, who are enlightened and inspired by the Holy Spirit, speak the words of the Spirit, the Father, and the Son to us, so that we may know for certain what God would reveal to us about salvation, eternal life, and the forgiveness of sins. Now again, we must emphasize that when the apostles are sent out to give the message of the cross, this is a spiritual revelation of divine truth. It's only through this revealed knowledge that we can know who the true God is. And only through the revelation of the Son can we know who the true God is. Apart from the Holy Incarnation, we cannot know the Creator of all things. Apart from the taking upon flesh and blood of God coming to be with us, we cannot know the Holy Blessed Trinity. If we don't have the Son, we don't have the Father. So the Son sends out the apostles and sends the Holy Spirit that we may have the Son. And in having the Son, we have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But keep in mind that, again, this is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual battle that's taking place. The apostles are sent out in the physical realm, not to be mistaken. They definitely are physical people, flesh and blood, just like you and I. But they're sent out into a fallen creation, an enemy-occupied territory, if you will. That in this fallen creation, it is filled with fallen angels. That is, fallen messengers who give a fallen message. So these fallen angels give this false teaching, many false teachings in the plural. All over the world, they have spread all kinds of teachings of the devil. teachings that take away the truth from the true God, that they deny the reality of the incarnation, that they try to steal glory from God and give it to something else, taking away honor that's rightly due to the Son and giving it to creation, or taking away from the individual here the comfort that truly comes through the message that we are at peace with God, and trying to enslave the individual in fear, in destruction of death, and trying to blind people throughout the world. But the Holy Spirit comes to speak the truth, so that we can know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Jesus is the truth who sets us free. So the Spirit of Jesus reveals Jesus to us so that we can be free from slavery to sin, slavery to the devil. So John the Apostle writes to those who have received this word and who believe and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he writes to them in the gospel, and he writes to them in his first epistle, opening up by saying this: "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And then he gives a warning to those who are disciples, that is, learners who are hearing the word of Jesus, who are being encouraged to abide and remain in the word of Jesus. He gives such a warning in chapter 4, saying this: "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. You see, the apostles are sent by God, and they speak the words of God. The Holy Spirit works through these words of the apostles to open ears to hear and hearts to believe. Those who have ears to hear, listen to the words of the apostles. Those who do not believe the words of the apostles are from the world. Those who believe the words of the apostles are from God. And those who are from God have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. So the Holy Spirit desires to continue to enlighten us with His Word, that we would continue to abide in Christ, remain in Christ, and rejoice in Him, who is our only Savior from our sin. In our day, Jesus continues to send men out with the words of the apostles in the written scriptures for the sake of building up the body of Christ and the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, so that we may no longer be carried away by every wind of false doctrine.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.